Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Coming into the Olympics, the heavy favorites to win the gold in women's soccer was the good old USA. But in their opening game of the tournament, they saw their 44-game winning streak snapped.
So, the world champions, United States, are thrashed in their opening game of the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. 3-0 victors for Sweden. If they're going to become the first team in history to win the World Cup and then the Olympic gold, the USA must do it the hard way.
Today, The Athletic's Meg Linehan and Steph Young on what we've seen from the U.S. team at the Olympics so far, what star players like Alex Morgan and Carly Lloyd have gone through just to make it to the tournament, and the tough road that now lies between them and another Olympic title. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Tiffany Oshinsky. It's Thursday, July 29th, and this is The Lead. Steph and Meg, thank you so much for joining us today. As many people will remember, the U.S. women hoisted the World Cup once again in 2019.
The United States of America are crowned champions of the world, and for the very first time, they've done it on European soil.
And I know both of you cover this team very closely. So since that win, what kind of turnover have we seen within this squad? What has changed about this team since 2019?
I mean, there honestly hasn't been a huge amount of turnover before. You know, the Olympic roster is always 18 players. So there's always this kind of drama around you go from a 23-player roster for the World Cup, right? And then you have to immediately go down to an 18-player roster. They get four alternates. But in the original 18-player roster, there was only one player on that roster who was not on the 2019 World Cup roster, and that was Christy Mewis.
Mewis one-on-one. Christy, the shot. Goal! Welcome back, Christy Mewis!
So most of this team, though, is still that 2019 World Cup winning team.
Vlatko Andonovski, yeah, that's the name, was officially unveiled as the U.S. women's national team's new head coach.
Vlatko Andonovski comes in the fall of 2019, and then immediately his first big major tournament gets postponed a year. They are going from a coach in Joe Ellis who won the 2015-2019 World Cup.
Big shoes to fill, very big shoes to fill. Jill Ellis did a sterling job with the American national team, and when you win two successive World Cups, when a manager takes over that kind of job, he's got to keep the standard.
So this is definitely his first big, real test as the head coach of this team.
All right, well, we'll circle back to head coach Vlatko Andonovski a little later. But first, I wanted to ask you about what some of the U.S.'s star players have been up to since we last saw them on the big stage. So let's start with striker Alex Morgan.
So the year layoff has allowed players like Alex Morgan, who had a baby, to actually come back and return to play.
It's hard to explain, but I realized that, like, when I'm away from Charlie, I want to maximize that time because I better be using my time well if I'm being taken away from my daughter. When I show up, I want to get my work done so I can get home and I can be back with my family.
And
so
go like over to England way, for a loan parties, spell with Tottenham.
Yes, she can. That's her first goal in the white shirt of Tottenham Hotspur, and surely the first win for Tottenham in the WSL this season. A delighted Alex Morgan and a delighted Tottenham Hotspur.
Come back, play with the pride, get some scoring underway in the National Women's Soccer League, and then actually make this team, whereas it was going to be a very tight turnaround.
And Steph,
You recently wrote a profile of now 39-year-old Carly Lloyd and how she has gone through some very big changes this past year. So to back up for a second, Lloyd had a well-documented falling out with her family many years ago. Basically, she thought they were too controlling of her and her soccer career, and they didn't like the fact that she was working with a coach named James Galanis. And Carly basically had no communication with her family for more than a decade.
It's been heartbreaking. I mean, it's really been, you know, sad to not be a part of things in their life, for them to not be a part of things in my life.
During the pandemic, she apparently had a change of heart.
I sustained a knee injury, so I had to get my first surgery of my career. And then, you know, another change of, you know, cutting ties with my former trainer of 17 years shortly after that, and then rekindling my relationship with my family. So it's been pretty amazing being able to be back in each other's lives, and definitely was a blessing.
Steph, what's your sense of how all of this has impacted Carly Lloyd, both on and off the field?
I think it's been emotional more than anything. I haven't seen really a change in Carly Lloyd's style of play or level of play, which is kind of very Carly Lloyd of her, like this consistent, steady on top, but below, people can't fathom, you know, what's going on internally. She can be a very private person, although you mentioned it. So she had a big family reconciliation during 2020. The pandemic gave us all time to ponder like life, death, mortality, that sort of thing. And she seems to have come to a realization that she didn't like the structure of her life at the time, and she didn't like being estranged from her family. They've been estranged for so long. I think you just have to go back to her 300 cap ceremony.
And it'll be a milestone day for Carly Lloyd, who will become only the third player ever to notch 300 international caps. She's going to join the elite company of just Christine Lilly and Christy Rampone.
I think that what Carly has done, it's absolutely incredible. She's a living legend for this team, for women's soccer and for soccer in general. I'm just honored to be part of her incredible journey.
Her mother is crying, and that hits you in a different context when you realize her, you know, her mother has missed out on like 10 years of her daughter's life, her professional achievements. So I think that's an emotional catharsis that Carly went through that actually has her feeling at peace with, like, maybe this is the end of her national team career. She'll see, like, she's still in control of it. But it has her being like, maybe I actually could be ready for what's next.
And I have to ask you about one of my favorite players, Rose Lavelle, who was arguably the breakout star of the 2019 World Cup. It seems like she's continued to be one of the most important players on this U.S. team since that tournament. Can you give us a sense of just how good she's been lately and what sets her apart as a player?
She's a revelatory talent.
Wide for Lavelle. On the left, golazo! Rose Lavelle, in the 42nd minute, makes it 1-0 United States.
I mean, people have described her style of play so many times because the moment it hits you in the eyeballs, you're just like, oh, what's this? It's not flashy per se, but she carries it off with such ease and, like, just poise.
But here's a chance for Rose Lavelle! The United States are off and running in Tokyo 2020.
She's looking for ambitious passes, trying to get people into the box. Like, she's asking you to make that run, that unpredictable run. She's been still one of the most exciting players for the team to watch, even when the team collectively is struggling.
It's not pretty, it's not perfect, but it's a really good strike by Rose Lavelle to be able to beat Steph LeBay at that near post from that angle with all that traffic in front of her is a thing of beauty. And you got it.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Well, Meg and Steph, I wanted to circle back to head coach Vlatko Andonovski, who, as we mentioned, took over this team 2 years ago. Meg, after the U.S. lost to Sweden in the opening game of these Olympics, you wrote that for him, it was, quote, a spectacular failure on all fronts. What exactly did you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just there are certain expectations for the U.S. women's national team. But the reason why I think the Sweden result felt especially bad is that they had played Sweden in their Olympic prep.
I think the tactics were a little bit better on Sweden's side. They really utilized the width well, and it put players like Dawn, like O'Hara, in uncomfortable situations that Sweden exploited.
And it was a 1-1 draw.
There were some performances that were not up to snuff. And if you do that this summer at the Olympics, you will go home early.
So many of the lessons of that match were not, there was no like learning that happened. So a lot of the same errors were repeated.
And this is where Sweden having a ton of success. Aslani almost playing like a fourth forward and they're just bringing these numbers.
I think that Vlatko Andonovski also did legitimately get outcoached. The tactics of Sweden were superior for that first opening stage match.
Lovely ball onto the onrushing Hannah Glass towards the side of the penalty area. The deep cross, Hurtig 3-0. Lena Hurtig with the header, and Sweden are taking Team USA apart here in Tokyo.
Overall, the game against Sweden is not the result that we expect from the U.S. Women's National Team. It's also not what we expected from Vlatko Andonovski as head coach. And the more I think we sat with it, did we learn the lesson from that Sweden draw in April and apply it to the first game of this Olympic tournament? Not really. To me, that feels like not just a missed opportunity, but an actual failure.
I also want to add really quickly to what Meg said. Some of this is because the players are not executing well. Passing, I don't know her, you know, the first and second touches, the winning the challenges, the movement off the ball, these are all player execution issues. Of course, the coach is responsible for like the overall performance of the team, but I think the players are probably just as mad at themselves for not executing.
Well, after losing that opening game, the U.S. demolished New Zealand 6-1 and played Australia to a hard-fought 0-0 tie, which left them second in their group. They will now meet the Netherlands in the quarterfinals, which is a rematch of the closely contested 2019 World Cup final. So how, if at all, do you think the matchup between these two teams has changed since that game 2 years ago?
I think Netherlands looks a little more vulnerable. Yes, they beat China 8-2. They tied Brazil 3-3, and then that 10-3 win over Zambia. But focus on that 3 against Zambia. If you play bravely and stick to your tactics, you can expose the Netherlands. And Zambia did exactly that.
Panda just takes it away. Turn and burn. Barbara Panda! How about a hat trick for the captain? Are you kidding me? We have two hat tricks in one match?
This is a team with vulnerabilities. They can be scored upon. And in fact, they were like 8 times.
Netherlands have scored 21 goals through 3 games, and I don't think you can discount that.
It's a very wide-open Netherlands attack, and no offside flag, so I guess it's 4 for Miedema.
And I think that also that 2019 World Cup final appearance helped the program tremendously. I've read an interview with Danielle van de Donk, one of their midfielders, and one of her main takeaways is just, we're not afraid of playing anyone anymore. Like, teams should be afraid of playing us now. We've been in a World Cup final. We've won Euros, right? Teams should be afraid of us. And I think that that's a real development for this program. Serena Wegman is a fantastic head coach for them. I don't know if there was a great opponent for the U.S. women's national team after that group stage, right? The other potential really was Brazil. And I think that's also a very good matchup against the United States. But Netherlands-U.S., I think, is a very good matchup just for the narratives.
Well, lastly, Meg and Steph, given what both of you have seen from this team so far and the difficult road ahead, what are their chances of repeating as gold medalists?
I'm looking at the bracket right now. So if we beat Netherlands, we have to beat the winner of either Canada versus Brazil. Either one of those, very beatable. Actually, probably more beatable than the Netherlands. But, you know, if Sweden stays on form, I just don't think there's a world where we don't meet them in the gold medal match, and we're going to have to overcome, you know, the mental whatever of that first game. Although maybe it's the whole Ted Lasso thing, right? They're goldfish.
You know what the happiest animal on earth is? It's a goldfish. You know why?
No.
Got a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish, Sam. Yeah?
They can move forward. That's what you have to do in a tournament. They advance. That's all that matters. That first game means nothing to them now, maybe.
There might actually be something to this story kind of always returning to Sweden. Challenge number one, though, is you've got to get past the Netherlands, which has its own kind of narrative punch to it. And that is not going to be a game that this team is overlooking by any stretch. This is kind of also the joy of the Olympics, is that because it is a smaller tournament, as soon as the knockout rounds start, you are right down to business. There is like no game that you can take for granted in this tournament ever.
It'll definitely be a very interesting final end of this tournament. Well, Meg, Steph, thank you guys so much. I'm kind of hoping that, you know, the Ted Lasso believe is part of their, pregame routine, hitting the sign. Hopefully we'll see them take home the gold. And I hope you guys will eventually get some sleep soon.
Fingers crossed on that.
You can read Meg Linehan and Steph Young's coverage of the U.S. women's national team at theathletic.com. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Tiffany Oshinsky. Thanks for listening. To hear more of The Lead, you can follow us on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Or to listen to us on your Alexa-enabled device, just say, Alexa, play The Lead podcast.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15, discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader, too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.